This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Aghast. Got well actually on Mac McClung's height. Texter said he's really 6'2", he's not 5'9". 5'9 was an exaggeration. There was a funny.
That's a big exaggeration, Sean.
I know. That's why it's an exaggeration.
I thought you were exaggerating, but maybe you were 6 foot. 6'2" is like a just slightly below average.
I'm just reading a text. I don't know if the text was right either. I just know we may both be wrong. It was pretty funny though. There was a quick. We'll get to this head coach poll here in a second, which is very interesting in The Athletic. There was a video online last night. McClung must have been walking around like a zoo or a theme park or something, and some little kid walks past him. You know, in the He is 6'2". Thanks, Byron. Okay.
Yeah.
Some little kid walks past him wearing a Mac McClung jersey, and he goes, "Hey, man, nice jersey." Like, Mac says it to the kid, and the kid's like, "Oh, thanks, bro," and just keeps walking. I didn't recognize him. That was pretty funny. So there were 10 NFL executives, anonymous personnel executives and coaches, and they were asked by The Athletic to assess each new hire's head coach, each new hire in the NFL, there's seven of them, the new head coaches, their fit and their rank, rank their top five with a sort of a voting system of 5 points for first place, 4 points for second place, etc. Far and away, the winner of the best fit among these. Did you look at this yet, Seth? Because I was going to see if you wanted to predict. Okay.
Yeah. I did. I was surprised by one of the high rankings. I was surprised by the bronze medalist, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, Let's go to the gold medalist first. And this is not a shock. If I had, because you and I graded these hires a couple weeks ago. Like, Mike Vrabel, as far as fit goes, I don't know if it's going to work out with Vrabel. These things are only going to work out for all these guys to the extent that their quarterback works out a lot of times. But Mike Vrabel, he got 45 of a possible 50 points. You know, he got nine of the 10 first place votes.
Yeah, and this is one I was skeptical of it at first, just because it felt to me so much like the Patriots just trying to run it back in any way possible, which it would be the second year in a row now that they've taken a former defensive player for the Patriots. It knows the Patriots way.
Right.
The difference is that Vrabel is very much his own man and has already established himself as a good head coach. And I do think, you know, one thing I've heard Bill O'Brien talk about that I know Bill Belichick has talked about too is that there is something about the fit of a head coach with the city, you know, and the temperament of the city and the culture and all of that. I think Bill O'Brien was a mismatch in Houston.
Yes.
He didn't vibe with Houston for multiple different reasons. I think Vrabel's a perfect vibe. Like, his vibe is Boston.
Yeah.
And that part of it is good. He obviously knows and understands the way ownership operates. And I think at the end of the day, he's still a very good NFL head coach who just, you know, obviously hasn't established himself as a preeminent coach, but it's the right fit.
Yeah.
It's yes, the Patriots ties help, but I think that Vrabel was going to be a good coaching hire at multiple different places.
Second on this list, and again, these are 10 NFL executives and coaches voting on who the best fit as head coach among the new head coaches are. Ben Johnson is the only other one to get a first place vote. He finished second, actually tied in total points in this poll with the one you're intrigued by, and that's Pete Carroll of the Raiders. Ben Johnson got the other first place vote. Pete Carroll got a ton of second place votes, though, among these seven coaches.
Yeah, and I think that, okay, for one, okay, they're interviewing NFL executives, right? Anonymous executives who all probably... Pete Carroll's the opposite of Bill Belichick. Pete Carroll, I think, is probably universally liked by just about everybody. So I think there's probably a lot of people that are pulling for Pete Carroll. Mm. And I think the big question with him over the last several years has always been, all right, what was going on with him and Russell Wilson? And then at the very end, his defense. Pete Carroll has had alarmingly, consistently good defenses. To the point where a couple years ago when the defense was struggling and he said in a press conference, like, I don't know. They asked him how he was dealing with it. And he's like, I don't know. I've never been in this position before. And I was like, whatever, Pete. And you go back and look at it. And going back to his days with the Patriots, it was, yeah, they've always had good defenses.
Yeah.
I don't think he's not your typical 73-year-old. Like in terms of energy and anything else like that. So the fact that he hired Chip Kelly is really intriguing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's, again, choosing offensive coordinators like Brian Schottenheimer and whomever else to get the most out of Russell Wilson, you can never tell, okay, is this a Russell Wilson problem or is this an offensive coordinator problem? And with the Raiders, maybe he's got a chance to be in a better situation if they find the right quarterback.
I think what's interesting about this poll, Seth, is that literally all of the first and second place votes went to Vrabel, Ben Johnson, and Pete Carroll. There's not a single, none of the other four head coaches were thought to be one of the two best hires. None of them. The next best one on this poll, and I know this is a guy you respect a ton, is Aaron Glenn, who's fourth on here. He got four third place votes in this thing. And again, these executives and coaches that are voting are voting 1 through 5 out of the 7, 1 through 5 as far as best fits go. So Aaron Glenn's kind of the guy right in the middle here. He's below the guys that are viewed as the A-listers, but he's a clear separation from the Kellen Moores, the Liam Cohens, and the Brian Schottenheimers.
I feel Aaron Glenn got docked just by virtue of the organization that hired him.
Yep.
I think there's the people that just think that, nah, it's doomed anyway, no matter what.
Nobody's a good fit there.
Yeah, Belichick could have. Well, okay, Belichick is always tricky to separate. They could have hired Bill Walsh in his prime. And people would have said, like, I don't know. I don't know if that's the guy.
Yeah.
Whereas I think with Aaron Glenn, just as it is with Ben Johnson, you have to look and say, all right, those guys actually oversaw a turnaround of a really bad situation. They were part of a turnaround that took multiple years. Aaron Glenn especially, because Aaron Glenn took over the defense when the Lions had been awful the year before. And there was a lot of pain along the way. They had to fire a defensive backs coach in the middle of the season. Like, Aaron had to be a part of some tough decisions to turn that into a genuinely good defense. I think the difference between him and Ben Johnson is that I know Aaron Glenn has the personality and the temperament to be a head coach. He's just that kind of a guy. I'd say he's more on the Vrabel side of that personality, where he's just kind of more of a, he's no nonsense, but he's got the touch of a former player to be able to deliver the hard messages. And with Ben Johnson, I think that's a big X factor. But people look at Ben Johnson and it's just such an easy fit where you're like, okay, you've got this really talented quarterback, you've got an offensive mind coming in who got the absolute best out of Jared Goff. So I think that Aaron gets docked here because of the organization and because of the fact that he's not like the perfect remedy for the biggest issue on the team.
Yeah,
in people's minds. Yep. Not that Ben Johnson definitely is the perfect
remedy. Aaron Glenn gets 20 points in this exercise. He finishes fourth, and then Kellen Moore, Liam Cohen, and Brian Schottenheimer they're barely named on the ballots. They're not even, you know, the best one is Kellen Moore. He's named on half the ballots out of the 10. What's so funny?
I'm laughing at myself because the Kellen Moore, the first sentence is, the former left-handed QB has been viewed as a head coaching candidate for a half decade. And in my mind, when I first read that, I was like, he's not left-handed anymore? Like, he's formerly left-handed? Like, okay, he's not a quarterback anymore.
The former was describing which hand he used.
He's worked a long time to get right-handed, and now he's ready to be an NFL head coach.
That's hilarious. That is funny. That's how it looks. Yeah, you're right. Like,
it's a weird thing to throw in there at the very beginning. I was like, hey, dude, by the way, did you know he was left-handed?
That's my big thing. It's like, why does it even matter that he's left-handed?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't care that his parents were too dumb to force him into baseball. I don't know
why. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. He should be a setup reliever somewhere right now, making $8 million a year.
Yeah. Job qualifications. I'm left-handed. Yeah. There you go. You're a pitcher.
You know, if I had to buy stock in any, like, if I had to buy stock in these guys, I immediately look at the quarterback situation, and who's got the best quarterback situation? Like, Vrabel has Drake May, who is, I guess, widely viewed. They didn't win many games, but he did some things that have people excited. Caleb Williams is supposed to be a generational prospect, I guess. That's who the Bears have. The Raiders and the Jets have nobody right now.
I would say the guy with the best quarterback situation on the face of it, if we're not talking about potential and ceiling.
Just right now, today.
It's the guy who's ranked last on the list, Brian Schottenheimer.
Dak Prescott.
Who's got Dak Prescott.
Yep.
You know, which you can argue about whether he's genuinely elite or not or anything, but he's of all these teams, he's a bona fide, really good NFL quarterback.
He's clearly better than the other six quarterback situations on these other teams.
And that's where I wonder with Schottenheimer, too. He's ranked dead last. And I understand all the reasons that come down to Schottenheimer himself, people being skeptical of him.
Yeah.
But I don't know who the guy is. Like, who's the guy you hire at this point that's going to be able to handle Jerry Jones and the circus that he provides?
So Lopez did a little exercise on their show on In the Loop this past week. Lopez and Reggie went through this. And I'm going to steal from it a little bit here. Which one of these guys, these head coaches, makes the playoffs first? They're all coaching teams that were out of the postseason this year. If you had to pick one of them, one of these head coaches to make the postseason before the other six, who would it be?
I would say, I mean, that Jets roster, that was one of the problems that I had with people being so down on Robert Saleh 2 years ago, was that they made the playoffs or almost made the playoffs
who?
2 years ago?
The Jets. They didn't make the playoffs ever.
They were 500. They were 500, yeah. Around 500.
The year Rodgers got hurt, you're saying?
Yeah.
They were
7-10. 7-10, that's right. I thought 7-10 that year was actually pretty impressive, given the fact that they didn't have a single viable NFL quarterback the entire year. Once Aaron Rodgers got injured in the fourth play of the game, like, they were done, and they won seven games. And their defense, when they were still a good defense when Robert Saleh got fired. And they still don't have a quarterback. I'm going to say the Patriots, just because I think that Vrabel will get an actual performance out of them.
Josh McDaniels is their OC. I think it's a great pick.
Yeah, you know, and he's got, you know what, that's why that's another great hire, just in the fact that he's got the guy now that's a really good offensive coordinator but a horrible head coach.
Yeah.
And Josh McDaniels, I could see Josh McDaniels being there for 15 years and never getting another opportunity as a head coach.
Yeah, again, the question is make the playoffs. It's not win the division. So, yeah, they're in a division with the Bills, who are, you know, they're in that clear tier of Ravens, Bills, Chiefs. I still put the Chiefs in that tier, even though they got their heads handed to them in the Super Bowl. So you're talking about you got to get to 9 or 10 wins. You know, and I think the defense was already a competitive defense with the Patriots. I think Vrabel it's almost like you're importing an elite defensive coordinator. His one season as a DC in his career so far was just here in Houston, and they were abjectly terrible, but they lost J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus and whatnot. I think, yes, I would pick Vrabel, and then I think second, I might pick Brian Schottenheimer and the Cowboys, just because if Dak Prescott comes back and he's healthy all season long, again, I think that team can win 9 or 10 games.
They've been very good in the regular season in the past. The one big difference is that now they don't just have the Eagles in that division. They also have the Commanders.
They do. Yep.
So that does make it tougher. It's tougher to be a wild card when you're playing in a division like that.
No question. No question about it. Well, the other question Lopez had that was good on that one for Reggie. Oh, which one will crash and burn? Which one do you think is the biggest disaster? Every year it feels like, Seth, in these hiring cycles, there's one like, all right, like Gerard Mayo was it last year. which I would not have picked, by the way, just based on how hand-selected he was by the Patriots. But if you had to pick one to be a disaster, who would it be?
I think Ben Johnson. And it would be a disaster, especially because Caleb Williams wouldn't work out. And that there's only – look, Caleb Williams was – he was responsible for a lot of his sacks, but he also – they like the. It's the opposite of the situation with Stroud, where you look at Stroud and you'd say, okay, well, clearly it's really hard to operate with an offensive line like this.
Yeah.
In the offensive line, or the pass protection got more of the blame. With Caleb Williams, it's not so easy to just blame the offensive line. There was a lot of Caleb Williams issues there, too. So Ben Johnson as the offensive coordinator, but who hasn't established that he can actually be a complete and total head coach, yeah. That'll be because it'll be more of the same if it doesn't work out. If Caleb, you lose, you know, it's just the latest disappointment at a high round draft pick for quarterback.
I want to pick Liam Cohen because of Duval and the optics of that, and just the whole thing, like how slimy the whole thing felt with him, like kind of saying he's going back to Tampa and then ghosting them the day he was in Jacksonville, lying about being in Jacksonville, basically.
I looked at that Liam Cohen situation as though that, hey, he would have taken the job, except he didn't want that GM, Trent Baalke, there. And at the time he declined the job, it looked like the Jaguars weren't gonna budge on that. And then all of a sudden they budged. So, yeah, I guess it's not slimy the same way it was when Josh McDaniels accepted the Colts job.
No.
And then with no other developments, he declined the Colts
just
job.
Just goes back, yeah.
After other assistant coaches had already left their jobs to be his coach.
That was bigger on the slime scale for sure. I think but the other thing with Cohen is just, again, like his first press conference had a disastrous moment, but you've pointed this out many times. The rest of it was pretty good. And the fact of the matter is that these guys who've had the disastrous moments, like Dan Campbell, his opening press conference was actually, by and large, like really conventional and good. He got attention for biting three kneecaps off, you know? Nick Sirianni, his first press conference obviously had its disastrous moment. These are guys who've succeeded, you know? Like, if I'm going to use that as the benchmark, there's a better chance that Liam Cohen wins the AFC South next year than there is he gets fired after 1 year.
Okay, bad opening press conferences that ended up being telling. Adam Gase might be the winner all time.
Yeah.
Because you could tell in there that, okay, this dude's got some kind of issue. It wasn't even when he was speaking. It wasn't when he wasn't speaking.
Right. His eyes are like rolling into the back of his head like the Undertaker.
Darting around all over the place. Yeah. Like, all right,
that's a good one.
I don't know what's going on with this guy.
Yep. So there you go. Vrabel. People love Vrabel. Morning, fellas. Text message. Jim Adler, Texas Hammer text line. Hard to see Bregman in a Red Sox uniform. That's how it goes. We should have traded him last year or the year before, maybe. It's hard to say. Was anybody clamoring for the Astros to trade Alex Bregman back then?
I think you made the best point on Friday when you said that, look, wanting to make a trade is different than just trading no matter what. When you trade no matter what, that's Bill O'Brien as your GM. That's when you're like, nope, I gotta get rid of this guy. Doesn't matter. Clowney, don't care. Yep, we'll pay part of his salary. Yep, DeAndre Hopkins, he's gotta get out of here. I think that Dana Brown has operated where, and I think you made the point on Friday where you said, like, I don't think it was predetermined that they were gonna trade Tucker and not Framber. It's that they got an offer that they thought was a really good offer for Tucker. And that, you know, and then maybe after they trade him away, then they'll be even more careful with how much they would trade for Framber. But they're not trying to tear down and rebuild. They're just trying to restructure and kind of reset right now.
Yep.
And they're gonna hit down the middle on it. So if there had been offers for Bregman that were similar, perhaps, maybe they would have pulled the trigger on it last year. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. They still view themselves as a competitive baseball team. So they're going to make trades where they feel like they're not going backwards. You know, like, man, I think that's a big question. Like, the sum total of the moves. Look, they have a disastrous outfield right now. If this is the outfield they're rolling with, there's games that you're really going to feel the brunt of not having a good bat in the outfield. But they've made a sum total of moves where the infield is very, very strong right now.
Everything I've heard is Espada and Dana Brown talk about other players on the Astros makes it feel like Jose Altuve is going to be in left field a boatload, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that they don't want, you know, Yordan playing as many games in left field this year. You know, Dubon has been openly talking about how he's excited to have a chance to play second base a bunch this year. I think at the very least, some of the time, that'll be part of the solution.
Yeah, we're headed there. Seth and I are headed to spring training, and we have exclusive furniture and Academy Sports to thank for sending us there. So we're really looking forward to that. Big thanks to Exclusive Furniture and Academy Sports for sponsoring Payne and Pendergast going to West Palm Beach. That'll be next week. This time a week from now, Seth and I will be doing the show from West Palm Beach, getting ready to head to go watch some baseball and get you guys all clued in on it throughout the rest of the day here on Sports Radio 610. Up next, speaking of the Astros, let's stick with that. Yeah, Bregman met with his new friends on Sunday. We'll hear from him, and I know this is gonna trigger some of you, but Lance McCullers spoke
at
spring training last week, and it sounds like he's throwing well. We'll see, but we're going to hear from Lance McCullers. One thing he will not do, though, you're going to hear from Lance McCullers about that coming up.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand-new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom?
Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Up next, yes. Alex Bregman has new friends. They are the Boston Red Sox. He was introduced to the Boston media on Sunday. They had a press conference yesterday morning. Here was Alex Bregman telling a story of when he realized, boy, this Fenway place, they're a little different up there.
I think it's going to be awesome. I think the craziest moment at Fenway was when Devers hit it inside the Parker in 2017 against us in the playoffs, and I felt like I've never seen a crowd that crazy in my life. It was almost like, oh, wow, I don't know if we're going to win this game anymore. They're going nuts. It's awesome. So, yeah, I think every time we go there, there's just an energy, whether it's a Monday or a Sunday. It's a great atmosphere.
I love that you found an article that pointed out that the one guy, or one of the guys at least, that among the Red Sox who wasn't like watching the press conference as an audience member would.
Yeah.
Bated breath. We got Bregman on our team now. Appeared to be at least Rafael Devers, right? Their current third baseman.
Yeah, Rafael Devers was kind of walking around and took a glance at it and then walked away. I guess a lot of the assembled Boston media wondered, I wonder if we should read into that, because the team as of yet has not actually declared Alex Bregman second baseman or third baseman. Rafael Devers, a third baseman who's not nearly defensively what Alex Bregman is. They're trying to soft pedal that a little bit, and I don't know. By the way, that home run was courtesy of Ken Giles, that inside park home run.
Yeah, did you? They showed a video of it. There was somebody put a video together of Bregman talking about it on top, and the video, the play, and it was one of those.
I didn't see.
It was one of those kooky like Fenway Park plays where whoever was playing left field. It bounced off the monster and kind of rolled sideways. It like rolled away from everybody. So it was one of those freaky things. Yeah.
I think it was Springer that went after. It was a Springer. It was Springer playing center field went off and just slammed
himself. Are you
watching
it right now?
Yeah, he slammed himself into the wall
and the thing just rolled into no man's land, right?
Yeah. It was a lot of distance to cover, and then he made it home.
But I was glad they showed the video, because what Bregman was talking about there was the crowd and the energy that he was feeling in there.
Yeah,
and yeah, you could see it, man. Like you didn't need to listen. Like you could see that place was going ape bleep after that play. So that was pretty cool. Here's Alex Bregman on getting recruited. Who did he get phone calls from to try to get him to come to the Boston Red Sox?
My favorite player, Dustin Pedroia, did. he reached out a few times this offseason and talked to me about how special it was to be a part of the Boston Red Sox. And it was pretty cool to talk to him, as well as so many other former players here in Boston and current players on the team as well. It was great.
Dude, he might want to play second base as an homage to his hero Dustin Pedroia in Boston.
Yeah, that part of it annoyed me. I guess Pedroia calling up and telling him all those things that you were annoying me last week, because you were telling me what a great fit it was going to be for Bregman in Boston.
I was annoying you by being right.
Yeah, you were annoying me. But it just like this annoyed me, because I think there's a lot about the baseball nerd of side of Bregman that probably really likes the idea of playing at Fenway. It's a baseball town.
Right.
Houston's a town where we argue about whether it's a baseball or a football town based on which, and people will adamantly claim that basically whichever team is doing best at the moment.
Yeah.
It's that. It's a football town. No, it's a baseball town. The Patriots won 6 Super Bowls, and at no point did anybody say it was a football town. It was a baseball town the entire time.
No,
throughout.
Yeah, and as soon as they stopped winning Super Bowls, it was really a baseball town again.
Yeah, it was crazy how quickly the Patriots became an afterthought, and easily, because people care more about baseball up there than football.
Baseball. Celtics are good right now. It'll always be a hockey town, too, no question. Let's make sure we get Lance McCullers in here since we teased that to the audience. Okay. Lance McCullers, guys, is throwing. He's throwing off a mound. He's throwing bullpens. He's throwing really well. He will do anything for love, but he will not do that. And that is coming out of the bullpen. I thought he had a pretty good explanation as to why, though. I know this is something that we've brought up here. Us and many have brought up as a possibility for him, you know, kind of in his whatever the post-this surgery world looks like for Lance McCullers. Here was McCullers when he was asked about, are you a starter or would you consider being a reliever?
Yeah, I don't know where that came from, but I don't think that's an easy job. And being a reliever, I think a lot of times, you know, people almost say, well, just make him a reliever. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do, to be a reliever at the big league level. It's not like a fallback position. I think that it's doing a disservice to the guys who are in that role. It's very specific. It's very hard. And I don't think pitching, you know, back-to-back days or even, you know, 3 out of 4 days, for me, I think it's physically harder. I think the things that the guys in the bullpen have to deal with throughout a long season, the ups and downs of usages, not really knowing when they're going to be called upon sometimes, that's a harder job. It's a harder way to stay healthy. And so, like I said, it's not just something that you can just decide you wake up one day and feel like, you know, being a reliever. It's a very specific job. I think suggesting otherwise is a disservice to the guys in the bullpen that have, you know, in our pen and in every pen around the league. And so, you know, for me, I'm interested in doing what I've always done. It's what I know. It's what I feel like I can give this team, you know, the most success in.
That Dana Brown was the guy that mentioned him being a reliever. Yeah. That's where it came from. So Dana Brown had brought up the possibility of, or at least was asked and didn't deny the concept of him as a reliever might have crossed his mind. I guess it's not a huge surprise to me. And he makes some really good points there. Lance is smart as hell. And he's kind of like Bregman. He's a baseball nerd. It's just that he hasn't been able to stay healthy for the last 3 years. I could roll with any of those. The problem is that he hasn't been able to, yes, it's hard to stay healthy as a reliever, just as it's hard to stay healthy as a starter. He hasn't been able to stay healthy as a starter. Yeah. So that's where the argument loses a little bit of its luster. It makes sense. That argument makes sense in a vacuum, but to act like, oh yeah, why mess with what's working? Like, no, because it's not working. That's why you might mess with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like the routine is huge. I think there's two things that are huge to Lance. One, the routine. Two, I mean, let's face it. You, as being a starter, he's gonna want to be in the big leagues a little longer than this current contract he's on. You make more as a frontline starter than you do a really capable middle reliever in baseball.
Yeah, I think for him though, too, I think he's very driven. And at times, I think that probably hurts him in his rehab processes. Like the guys that just want to go balls to the wall 1,000 miles per hour all the time. Sometimes that hurts you in the rehab process. But it's, I guess at this point now, I'll be surprised if they use him as a reliever this year.
He's
just flat out not going to do it.
I'd be shocked. Yeah. Here is Lance on what the plan is for him right now.
So I've thrown 7 pens, which is a good amount, just coming through like off season. I'll throw another pen, I think Sunday. And then probably a couple more, and then looking to face hitters. I'd love to get in some games toward the end of camp, and you know, from there probably break a AAA. It's been a little while since I've, you know, really faced competition. Spring training's good, but it's not, you know, there's still a little bit of a gap from spring to the season. So I think we all feel it would be the best to try to get a game or two under my belt down here in Florida, and then probably go to AAA before you know, making the decision to join back.
So we definitely will not be seeing him, you and I, pitching in a game. When we're down there. I mean, we're down there next week. It sounds like he's still a few weeks off from when he says, I'd like to get into a couple games. Well, that tells me, like, okay, middle of March, probably, you know?
What's more likely? Who do you get more? Okay, how many appearances for the year? Forrest Whitley or Lance McCullers?
Oh, number of, well, appearances. See, Whitley.
Because if Whitley's a reliever, just, but I mean, Whitley hasn't been able to do anything for any extended amount of time.
This is
either.
Totally a bet. This is another way of asking who I think stays healthier. You know what I mean?
Because
they're both healthy, it's clearly going to be Whitley because even bad relievers pitching for
well, healthy
games.
And good. If he's healthy and good as a reliever.
Yeah. No, right. He could wind up getting sent down again or, I guess, you know, getting DFA'd, whatever it may be. I'll go with, boy, that's That's a really good question. I'll go with Lance. I'll go. Whitley's never been able to stay healthy like ever. Boy, neither has Lance though. The last few years, I'll go with Lance because it's what I'm rooting for.
Think I would go. Yeah, I would go with Lance too, just because Whitley also hasn't proven anything in the major leagues.
Yeah, Whitley.
So it might not even just be injury with him. It might just be that he can't do it in the majors.
Yes, there's that fact. Like, if Lance is pitching, he ain't pitching in Sugar Land. Yeah,
I should have said that. I meant total appearances with the Astros.
With the Astros,
not
yeah.
with the minor league.
Yeah, team. Yeah. No, I was assuming that's what you meant, and I still kind of hemmed and hawed. Yeah, I'll go with Lance. That's a good variable in the whole thing. Like, there's a chance Whitley's not on the team for performance issues come June, you know?
Yeah.
It's a depressing question because these are two guys that at various points in their career, there was a lot wrapped up in both of them in terms of what they meant to the organization, you know?
Yeah.
And Lance has done some great things, no question about that. But the last couple of years, last really 4 or 5 years, have been rough with the injuries. Whitley has just been, you know, That whole thing's been on a different planet compared to what, with Lance's situation. All right, listen to Sports Radio 610 on the Odyssey app for an hour each day for your entry into the Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest. If you win, you and three friends are headed to Vegas. You're going to stay at Circa, go to their amazing sports book during the college basketball championship. It's a huge experience you're going to have there. The stadium swim is amazing at Circa. So listen, an hour a day to Sports Radio 610 on the Odyssey app. Download the app. You're going to get an extra $20,000 in your pocket to spend while you're in Vegas. So if you win that contest, it's going to be a whole lot of fun. Download the Odyssey app. Listen for an hour each day to Sports Radio 610, and your daily entry to the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest is secured. Up next, the final days of Aaron Rodgers as a Jet and the reversal, of one of the biggest stories from 10 years ago in the NFL. That is next. All right, so this is something, you know, this is something I would have paid to watch. There are a lot of things that we don't get to watch because they're conversations that are held in private, but then we hear about them, and I think to myself, boy, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall for that. And I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall for the conversation that reportedly took place between Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets in the dying days of the relationship between the two.
Yeah.
Because according to this article in the New York Post, Rodgers, quote, aggressively urged the Jets to stick with him for another season or two, end quote. And in the end, Rodgers accepted the Jets' decision, as if he had a choice, quote, like a man going to the gallows, end quote.
Yeah.
He did not like rejection, Seth.
Are
you buying this right now?
I don't know. I always get nervous whenever people second or third hand describe people's emotions. That, all right, maybe he wasn't happy about it, but like a man going to the gallows, that sounds pretty drastic. Okay, was Aaron Rodgers morose about it, or was he overly distraught? It would be the first time in his life, probably. Well, first time since he became a starting quarterback that he was being actively rejected by mm-hmm. a team, perhaps. Now, the way the reporting has been was that the Jets had a few conditions that if Aaron Rodgers was going to stay, it was going to have to be no more appearances on the Pat McAfee show. He's going to have to be there for all appearances or for all
minicamp.
He's going to have to be there for mandatory stuff.
Yeah.
The stuff that you have to be there for. You're really, really going to have to be there for it.
Yes.
So I don't know. Like, that's the part that it's not clear to me, and I guess it never will be 100%. Was he open to that, or did he balk at that, or was that just one of the prerequisites, but there was more to it, and that ultimately it wasn't going to work out?
Yeah, I think the two kind of money quotes to come out of this thing, I think you're absolutely right. The thing, like, he appeared to be like a man going to the gallows. I would submit, like, Aaron Rodgers isn't the guy who carries himself with effusive energy all the time to begin with. He always looks like he's going to the gallows.
Yeah, he's not bouncing down the halls asking everybody, how's your day going?
Right,
it's going to be a great day because we're alive.
Now, yeah. So that's, you're right, that's reading into somebody's emotions. Now, the other thing, him aggressively urging the Jets to stick with him for another season or two, is that's, other than maybe aggressively conveying some degree of emotion, but that's more of a reported fact than it is, like, hey, this is what he was feeling.
Right,
like,
right.
Well, that, I that absolutely feels possible to me.
That he really wanted to be there, and that he might have felt like, you know, man, I came here and I wanted to make a commitment to it. He's got the weaponry there. I mean, it's
a good roster.
Right, yeah. right. It makes a lot of sense that, yeah, if he still wants to play football, that would be the place to be. And I don't know how much of it, though, too, was him wanting to be there, but you guys really got to give Nathaniel Hackett another shot at this. And not to mention Randall Cobb. He's still here. He's still out there. How much of it was that? He aggressively wanted to be there, but only on his terms.
This article also said that he was, this is a second article. There was the article in the New York Post. Then there was another one over the weekend in The Athletic that essentially listed all of the different dysfunctional factoids from the Aaron Rodgers experience in New York, from the time he tore his Achilles to popping up on the McAfee show a few weeks later, pointing fingers at people in a building he hadn't been in weeks.
Yeah.
Him doing a press conference where literally he said, we need fewer distractions. And then he's on the McAfee show the next day providing distractions. He was completely hypocritical while he was there. But the one thing they did say in that article that was interesting is he was more upset about the demotion to Nathaniel Hackett than he let on. Like, he was publicly, he was actually a pretty good soldier about that one.
Yeah.
But reportedly behind the scenes, which is just baffling to me because Nathaniel Hackett is just, he's not good.
He's never been a good offensive coordinator in the NFL. I mean, his best work was in Green Bay when he wasn't the offensive. I don't know. None of it. That part, I think Aaron Rodgers is one of those guys. He strikes me as one of those guys that he thinks he's trying to do the right thing. But he also, I think he doesn't understand the difference between loyalty to your friends doesn't always coincide with loyalty to the team.
Yeah.
And that he just can't see past that. So it's not like it's a bad human thing, but it's a bad quarterback thing when you're trying to wield power in terms of who the actual coaches are on the team or who the actual receivers are on the team, that he just can't see beyond his own veil of what's actually right for the team.
By doing what he thinks is positively impacting the likes of Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard and guys like that, he doesn't see the negative ripple effect that it's having on the other 48 guys on the roster.
A lot of the things that Aaron Rodgers wants to do as a quarterback is kind of, if your offensive coordinator was doing it, you'd be asking him, why are you not helping the quarterback out with more pre-snap motion, with all this other stuff? He's an antiquated, Aaron Rodgers, the offensive coordinator, is a bit of an antiquated offensive coordinator. And which was cool back when he could run like the wind and throw at a 45 degree angle as he's falling down and everything, but he's not that guy anymore.
Nope. So, reading the article in The Athletic that listed all the things that he did behind the scenes that negatively impact, not even behind the scenes, like skipping mandatory minicamp isn't behind the scenes at all. That's very much out in front. But just reading through that, dude, man, and they fired Saleh 5 weeks into the season, and they're demoting Hackett. They eventually fired Joe Douglas in season. I'm like, how did the Texans lose to these guys?
It's of a different nature, and yet it's the same in some respects. No matter how great you are as a quarterback, but then especially as you're getting older, once you start veering from the complete and total devotion to it, it's really hard to make it as an aging quarterback. And look at Tom Brady's final season in Tampa, where his family was falling apart.
Yeah.
He missed parts of training camp that year, and you would find out later it was because he was actively getting divorced by his wife, who was probably at least had a close relationship with her jiu-jitsu instructor, with whom she would later become impregnated after the divorce. Like, there was a lot going on there.
Yeah.
And he didn't. It was a mess that year.
Yep.
It just feels like there's way too much for a 41-year-old quarterback right now to deal with. And if you're Aaron Glenn, I mean, you're looking at your predecessor who's run out of town partly because he didn't know how to handle the prima donna Aaron Rodgers in press conferences. No, you got to be tougher on him. And no, you can't piss off Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. Hey, what are you doing? All these people that wanted to blame everybody except Aaron Rodgers himself. Robert Saleh ends up getting fired basically because Aaron Rodgers was there.
Yep. Another big story this weekend that came out, did not see this one coming. Jonathan Martin, remember his name? He was the offensive lineman for the Miami Dolphins, who is probably best known, although trying not to be best known these days, but probably best known by football fans as the offensive lineman who was reportedly at the time bullied by other offensive linemen with the Dolphins to the extent that it became a big public story. They did a big investigation about it, the Wells Report, where they interviewed a bunch of people. And it really, it torpedoed that version of the Dolphins that year. That, like, they were, like, that's all they did was answer questions about how toxic their locker room was. And Jonathan Martin ended up out of football within 2 or 3 years due to injuries, although some would say he, you know, the culture of the Dolphins drove him away. He ended up getting traded to the 49ers. He was not on the Dolphins much longer after that. Jonathan Martin did some interviews with ESPN, and the story is now out where he's basically trying to reverse the narrative on all that and say that he wasn't really bullied back then, that he kind of went along with the Wells report. His mom plays a big role in the narrative that he was bullied as well.
His parents are both very, very successful. Are the, both of them attorneys, or his mom is an attorney?
His dad was a professor.
His dad was a professor. His mom is an attorney.
Yeah,
and his parents, like, Jonathan Martin is kind of telling the story of that his parents kind of, in trying to protect him, really took over and were pushing the narrative perhaps more than he would have preferred. And he says, quote, "I never believed for a second I was being bullied."
Which now people who are on that team, including Richie Incognito, who's probably like the central figure on the bullying side of things, was going off on Twitter last night retweeting the link to this story. "He couldn't cut it in the NFL, so he quit, and his mom blamed me. Legacy media pushed this narrative long and far. Too bad it was all a lie. They lied to protect his money. He quit. The team had every right to claw back that money. His mom started the bullying narrative with ESPN and Adam Schefter so that the Dolphins wouldn't go after his signing bonus." You know, basically saying, like, he quit football, and if you quit, you owe back the prorated portion of your signing bonus. But if he starts a narrative where he was bullied, well, then no team is going to go trying to get the signing bonus back.
The sum total of all of this, and it is still a very sad story, I think, is that there are two things going on. Was that, one, Jonathan Martin had mental health challenges that continued after he was out of the NFL. He would, you know, says that he had attempted suicide multiple times. Had a really curious incident where he had a photo of a gun on social media and said that when people get bullied and they feel they have no other recourse. And then he checked himself into a mental hospital.
That was in 2018. Yeah. Just so
he's
know.
Like, he's has mental health concerns independent of Richie Incognito, I think. But then on the other side of it, Richie Incognito is a known mental health challenge as well.
He's like a football lunatic is what he is.
Yeah, and when it comes to like some of the stuff Incognito is doing, it was way above and beyond what your normal rookie treatment is and all of that. So it was a really ugly situation.
Yeah.
And I think because everything was so extreme, it probably, I don't want to say it got blown up out of proportion, but I think it took on a life of its own in a way that it did. It wouldn't have if you had maybe different dynamics.
I'm team nobody on this one. Like I'm on. People take sides on this. I don't take either side on this one. I think Jonathan Martin had some things going on. I think Richie Incognito clearly had some things going on.
I know that because a lot of the Incognito quotes were things that it's weird. I've been on teams where that type of talking and everything would have been totally cool and everybody would have been cool with it, but then I could see other environments where like, oh no way, that's not, it's wrong, it's way wrong. And it's just impossible to know without actually having been there.
Martin's dad played a voicemail message that he's been saving for years that was left for Martin from Richie Incognito in April of 2013, where he uses the N-word and he's dropping multiple F-bombs on him. He's threatening to smack him around and all this stuff.
Right, which is, again, like where I say, and it's really, really bad, but it's also in an environment where the Pouncey brothers had given him... Like, the Pouncey brothers are crazy too.
Yes.
So the Pouncey brothers had told that basically said like, no, Incognito's cool saying whatever he wants. So like within that O-line environment, what was it like? It feels like when you're trying to dissect Sometimes when things, they talk about like training of special forces or special operations military, they're like, all right, I don't know, like some of it's pretty psychotic, but they're asked to do psychotic things.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah. I don't have a clue. I don't know what the dynamics were.
All right, today is Diggs Day. This is a big day. If the Texans are of mind to extend and bring back Stephon Diggs, today is a huge day for that to happen. We will explain why and the ramifications if they don't, and who might some of the names be that they would kick tires on, especially now that Nick Caley is in the building, if they do need to fill, and they will need to fill that wide receiver room. We'll do that. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.